In the beginning of this week's parsha, we read about the prayer or the prayers that Moshe said to God, begging, pleading, to be able to enter into the land of Israel. According to the rabbis, the word Ve'etchanan, which is the name of the parsha, should be understood by its numerical value, to say that Moshe prayed 515 prayers to be allowed to enter, and God said stop, said Ravlach, enough. Of course, we can ask ourselves a tantalizing question, which the Midrash raises. What would have happened if Moshe said just one more prayer? Would God finally then have said, okay, now you can enter? Around 388 years ago, a rabbi who was a rabbi in Krakow passed away. And he may have been more involved, invested, tormented by this parsha and by this question than perhaps anyone else. His name is Rav Nosson Nata, or Rav Natan Nata Shapiro. He himself has many, many descendants who are among the leaders of the Hasidic world, a number of different very famous rabbis. His own student was a man known as the Shach. He wrote commentaries which are in more revealed parts of the Torah. And he also wrote a book with the most wonderful name called Megaleh Amukot, to reveal the hidden. Now the Megaleh Amukot is on the entire Torah. But the most amount of commentary is on this week's parsha, and on this verse, and on the idea that God said, Ravlach, enough. And what's interesting is that he himself penned some 252 explanations to this concept. Ironically, we're told that he had intended to write more. Maybe he had in mind to write 515, maybe he had in mind to write 516. It said that he wanted to write 1,000 interpretations to this. But what's also fascinating is that he died. Actually, his yahrzeit is today, the 13th day of Av. And he only wrote those 252 interpretations. One of his interpretations is that he sees within the response of God to Moshe a veiled reference to something which is probably not the first thing we would have said, oh, that's Moshe's fault. A matter of fact, Rav, he sees as a reference to the Erev Rav. Those people who came out of Egypt, these other nations, the hangers-on, these people that followed the Jews, took advantage of the Exodus, and followed us out. So where's the attack on Moshe? According to at least one Midrashic understanding, the sin of the golden calf was the fault of those who had come out, the Erev Rav. And I know, it's always convenient to have an Erev Rav that we can blame all of our mistakes on. But that's what Chazal do. It's as if to say this could not have come from the Jewish people themselves. And therefore the Megaleh Amukot, or the Megaleh Amukot, revealing something which is deep. Of course Moshe wasn't there. Of course, at that point, Moshe had climbed up Mount Sinai to receive the Torah. But those people that he allowed to come out, the Erev Rav, they were busy making the golden calf. Now that's fascinating, to say that still, even in this episode, when Moshe isn't there, he bears at least some responsibility. And the second time, Rav Lach. So he sees within the word lach the same as lech, as to walk or to go. And he sees within this, again, a veiled reference to the sin of the spies. Moshe tells us in Devarim, he told us in last week's parsha, that the people came and approached him, and he thought it was a good idea. So it's interesting, when it comes to a leader, it's not just a question of what one intends to do. It's also dealing the ramifications of things that you did do. Which means if Moshe did take these others out, and it resulted in the sin of the golden calf, for that Moshe bears some responsibility. If Moshe thought the sending of the spies is a good idea, and it ends up having absolutely catastrophic ramifications, then again, Moshe bears some responsibility. Now, obviously, this is not something which he planned, or he plotted, or something which he wanted, and these outcomes were the last thing that came to Moshe's mind. Nonetheless, the Megaleh Amukot of Shapiro sees within this as a hint to some responsibility that Moshe has. After all, when you give 252 interpretations and explanations for why it is that Moshe can't say another prayer, you end up with lots and lots and lots of charges against Moshe. Of course, the Megaleh Amukot wanted nothing more than for Moshe to go in. And that's why he was so transfixed with this. And it's fascinating that God didn't let him write more than his 252 interpretations. Perhaps 252 explanations of what Moshe did wrong, or why Moshe couldn't pray anymore, was enough, and God didn't really want there to be 253.